folks. We're doing another road trip review. This time, James and I are on the road to Huntsville, Alabama, to see the new Transformers movie in 3D IMAX.
Which is how it was shot.
Which is why that's why we're seeing it that way.
That's why we're making the long trip.
Now, full disclosure, I'm quite aware that this is probably a bad movie.
Well, the estimated opening weekend, $69 billion, lowest in the series by far.
Wow.
I don't know if that includes the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday opening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it does, but I mean, it basically got a six-day weekend, so...
God.
The Friday, Saturday, Sunday estimated is $69
million. God.
It's very
holy
low.
Crap. Well, people have lost a lot of faith in the Transformers franchise. A lot of that's got to do with Michael Bay, but a lot of the reason we're coming to watch it over here today in 3D IMAX is because of Michael Bay. So, I mean...
He's proud that he is the only person to shoot a movie in 3D for the summer. Like, all the other 3D movies that come out are...
Nothing.
Are formatted, they render them in 3D, but they weren't shot in 3D, and he shot Transformers in 3D, and he's very proud of that.
Well, apparently it looks gorgeous.
Everything I've heard about it, they say the movie is terrible, but the spectacle of it all is
amazing.
To be seen in 3D IMAX.
Okay, the last time I saw a decent Transformers film, it was in 3D IMAX. It wasn't shot in it, but it was in it when we came over here to see Dark of the Moon. And the action, there's always so much action in a Transformers movie. It just lends itself to this. And the colors lend itself to this. I mean,
the first one didn't have any colors. It was all just a bunch of wadded metal.
Which
Shia LaBeouf going, run!
Stupid. Is Mark Wahlberg in this?
Yes.
He is, isn't he? That's
yes, this movie is a blend of the original cast and the new cast. Because you've got, what's his name? The army guy. Not Tyrese.
Tay Diggs.
No, not Tyrese, but the other one.
Josh
Duhamel.
Duhamel, yeah.
Josh Duhamel's in it, and Mark Wahlberg's in it.
That's weird.
And Anthony Hopkins. I mean, like...
Anthony Hopkins is one of the main reasons I'm like, okay, you can say all you want to about Transformers, but it's got to be some kind of decent. It's not like Anthony Hopkins needs the money.
Well, and what I've heard is that the Anthony Hopkins scenes are fantastically acted.
I'm sure.
But just like every other Transformer, the script is bare bones, nothing to it. So,
which is fine. I mean, I will say, this is just like Power Rangers. The Transformers fan base is exactly like the Power Rangers fan base.
Well,
you're never going to please them. Yeah. You're never going to please them. It's just, it's going to be what it is. And I love Transformers. I do. I'm not expecting much out of this except for a good-looking movie.
I'm wondering, though, like, the big thing, I'm wondering if they're going to set up for Unicron, because the trailers kind of looked like they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be neat to see that. But... I really don't have a lot of hope for this movie.
No.
Like, I'm just coming for the IMAX 3D of it all because I've never seen a movie that was formatted for IMAX, like, that was shot in IMAX. It's always been just stuff, like I was just telling you before we started recording, it's just stuff that was just projected on the IMAX screen, but it wasn't shot for IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is not 100% shot for IMAX, but it is 98% shot for IMAX, so...
And it's 100% more than any other movie this summer.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Next summer, though, when we get the new Avengers movie, it will be the first movie shot 100% in IMAX.
Oh God.
So I can't wait for that.
Be right back over here for that.
Yeah, and for
that.
2 years, because they're doing Avengers 3 and 4 at the same time, and they're both shot 100% IMAX.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
2018 and 2019, we will have Avengers movies.
Oh, that's awesome. I love when people think outside the box to do something like this. I mean...
Well, with Avengers, it just makes sense because to get all those people together costs
a lot of money.
And so, might as well go ahead if you're going to do... Because, I mean, the movie started off, it was going to be a two-parter anyway.
Yep.
So they said, well, we might as well go ahead and shoot the whole thing. that way we don't have to spend the money to get all these people back together.
Do it all at once, and might as well make it as awesome as you can. I mean,
the stuff that I've been hearing coming off the set of Avengers, I know that's not what we're going to talk about today.
No.
But the stuff that I've been seeing coming off the set, like, just the general reaction from just the cast members are going, this is amazing. Like, we've never seen something this big. This is huge.
Marvel's amazing. I wish that Michael Bay would have taken some lessons from them for Transformers, to evolve Transformers, because at this point, I'm not really sure if handing it over to somebody else to totally reboot it would even work. I'm not so sure it's been long enough for us to, like, meet Optimus Prime all over again.
Oh, they're not... They don't have any plans to reboot.
Oh, I know. Makes no sense.
They have the spinoff movie, which will... Was it you that said it's going to destroy their entire canon?
Yes.
Or was it Logan?
I think it's me. I think it is.
Because they're doing a...
Bumblebee
movie that's set in the 80s.
Yeah, so not really sure.
If they all showed up in 2007, it don't really work out right.
No, and it's not
they're
like...
They're going to end up X-Mening themselves.
Yeah, and it's not like they were in disguise since the 80s. They even gave us that tease in the first movie with Bumblebee as the old bug.
No, they didn't.
For a minute. No, wait.
No, he was never a bug.
Oh, no, he went...
He was a Camaro.
He was a Camaro. Okay, so, like, Shia LaBeouf had to buy the bug.
No, he had to buy the Camaro. He had to buy Bumblebee. He bought that Camaro.
Oh, yeah. There was a bug somewhere in
there. There's a bug next to it.
Yes.
There was a bug next to it. But
yes.
Yeah, Bumblebee will be a bug in the spinoff movie.
I wonder if that one piece is going to connect it somehow. I hope not. That'd be dumb.
Yeah.
That'd be really dumb. I don't know why they're doing that. And like, I purposely have not found out anything about this movie.
Oh, me too.
Just because I don't want to know. I don't even know if, like, Hot Rod, Rodimus Prime, is in this movie. I hope he is. That'd be awesome, but I don't think he is.
I would hope he is, too.
Yeah, and Transformers is the world's worst about spoiling their movies with their toy lines.
Yeah.
Because they release everything so soon. There's the Space and Rocket Center.
Love that place.
Go get on the slingshot.
Yep.
Get me some Spaceman ice cream. Holy crap.
You can buy MREs.
I know.
They're so bad.
They are terrible. Oh my gosh. Oh man. We were talking about this earlier. I think we're gonna come do an episode over here at the Space Center one day. That'd be awesome. That'd be a great time.
Yeah, would be fun.
We'll put Logan in the slingshot. We'll see if they can, like, let us spend the night in the habitat.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Run up the side of the wall. Oh, man, that'd be amazing. Space camp, man. That's where it goes.
The centrifuge?
Yes. Oh, man. That's where we saw The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah?
In IMAX.
Yeah, they had the IMAX Dome Theater.
Yes. It was awesome.
The only thing I've ever seen there is, like, Blue Planet, like those
I know, right?
Documentaries, and those are always good.
Yeah, they did IMAX over here before they built this theater that we're going to today. But, like, we brought a whole slew of folks over for that one night. Big Dan used his mom's van, and we all loaded up and came over and watched The Dark Knight right there at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center.
If we would need to borrow Dan's brother, Joe's van, because that thing seats like 20.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big van. The big van.
The big van.
The big van. Yes, sir. The big van. So, it's... yeah, we should do that. But, so, we're going to go watch Transformers, and when we're done... We'll give you our thoughts on Transformers The Last Knight. Is that the title of the movie?
I think that's the title of it. Hey, we didn't give an episode number for this.
Oh, it's 275.
Is that it?
I think it is. Hold on. Since we're double dipping you guys for this week, let's see. If you would like to complain/donate to Karn Theater Arts about the fact that we're not giving you episodes in a timely fashion. Yeah, episode 274, actually.
Yeah, 274.
272 is our last road trip review, and it's the summer, so we're going to do this probably more times. But it's 274.
Take exit 19A onto US 231 South and US 431 South.
That's the way we're going.
I have no idea where we're going. I got to have got GPS.
It's all coming back to me now. Anyway, so
it's
we'll...
It's all coming back to me now.
There was your music for the episode. We'll see you on the other side. What was that?
I don't know, but it fell out of that guy's truck.
Well, you heard it here, folks. That was a real moment. Recorded live.
And I did not say a swear word.
We'll see you on the other side. Bye.
Interesting.
So, we watched Transformers the last night.
IMAX 3D.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, the good part of it. Okay, also, spoiler alert.
Yeah, well...
It is
maybe,
the first week.
I mean, I don't know if, like, there are actual spoilers for this movie, because I'm still not sure what went on.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we watched, but we're going to talk about stuff that might spoil it for you.
Optimus Prime is someone in this movie.
Yeah, he might be in the movie. Maybe. Yeah.
Oh,
somewhere.
God. So 3D IMAX, great.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Totally worth it for that.
The 2%, it was noticeable, the whole expanding aspect ratio.
Yes.
But yes. I like it. When it opens up and stuff like that. However, it opened up in weird spots because it was 98% shot in IMAX. Mm-hmm. So there's some just dialogue scenes where there's no action that open up. And you're like, well, that's weird.
That's different.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you just go with it. So 98% shot in IMAX 3D. There is no 3D camera for IMAX. He built a rig and strapped two IMAX cameras together and made his own 3D rig.
And I'd say it worked well.
It worked wonderfully. Like, it was a beautiful movie. It was very pretty to watch.
The best thing I can say about this, the best comment I can make about Transformers last night, is that it was great because of Michael Bay, and it was horrible because of Michael Bay. I mean, like, you can't have one Michael Bay without the other.
Yes, you can.
Well, you can sometimes.
His little movies.
But it won't be anything that says Transformers at the beginning of it. Yeah, no.
Transformers is so he can get a big payday and go make the little movie that he wants to make.
Yeah, which is fine. It's totally fine. Yeah. Is he making the entire Transformers fan base angry? Yes.
Absolutely.
Abso-friggin-lutely.
But like you and I just talked about it before we turned this on, we think he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah. He's gotta be at this point.
He's just laughing at people.
Because there for a bit I was like, is this Monty Python?
Oh my God, yeah. The movie opens and we're like, what's going on? And I said, oh, Josh, no, I got us tickets to see King Arthur, Legend of the Sword,
yeah,
instead of Transformers.
Like, is King Arthur going to transform or something?
It's like the first 20 minutes of the movie. Well, probably not 20 minutes, at least 15 minutes of the movie. It's just medieval stuff. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, I'm not really sure where I'm following. And Stanley Tucci was Merlin.
Yeah.
And it was really weird. Really, really weird.
And Merlin was a drunk? That was a little funny.
Okay, I will say this. Because I like David Lynch, and I do, I really like David Lynch. Although I've not ever really noticed this about Michael Bay before, David Lynch, his whole thing is he wants to show you moments that you never get to see. Like somebody just sitting there reading a paper. Or a dude sweeping a bar for 5 minutes. Like, that's David Lynch. I felt like some of the stuff with Merlin and the booze was a little Lynchian.
I'll just have
like,
a nip.
It was like, I don't understand how this plays into the big picture. I mean, at least it did, but...
It didn't.
Not really. It was the stupidest thing of all time.
Yeah. He says, I'll have just one more nip, and he drinks the whole bottle.
It was clearly like, a modernized bottle.
Yeah. But it was maybe, wrapped in leather, so
with
it
maybe
looked
even
old.
A screw top on it. I can't remember, but I'm not ever going to watch it again to find out.
It was wrapped in leather, so it did look like an old bottle, but the neck of it stuck out, and you're like, that looks like a new bottle.
Yeah, that's a brand new bottle there, Stanley Tucci as Merlin. Just a nice middle finger to you, Michael Bay, for leaving out Sir Robin and Sir Galahad from the Knights of the Round Table, because they are equally as important as some of those other little people that were there. Okay, spoiler alert. Did you have any inkling that the title, The Last Knight, was about
Mark Wahlberg? No.
What the crap was that?
Marky Mark is the last knight. He was just late to the party.
Yeah, I mean, like, so there's this whole knighthood of Transformers to protect Merlin's staff that I'm not really sure what it actually did.
I don't know what it does. I do know that, okay, so we talked about it earlier. Unicron, we said Unicron might possibly be in the movie. That'd be cool. Okay. Unicron is, I guess, kind of in the movie. Not fully, but when they referenced it, Josh and I just looked at each other and was like, no.
So basically what you need to know about this movie is that Cybertron, Optimus Prime, sent himself into space.
At the end of four.
And when you first see him in this movie, he's kind of tumbling aimlessly.
Yeah, it looks like he was frozen and tumbling aimlessly in space.
But then, magically,
he hits Cybertron.
He lands fist down superhero pose on
superhero landing.
Cybertron. And this new life-giving god transformer.
Somebody, like the creator, which now the name escapes me now because it was so
dumb,
like... Yeah, they've not ever talked about the life-giving god of Transformers. They're like, oh, yeah, well, I've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
No, you have not.
No, you haven't. Just like Bumblebee didn't fight Nazis, and we know it. Like, no. But
my God, they retconned it to where he did.
They sure did. Oh, God. So, Prime goes to Cybertron. This fairy person god... converts him
makes him evil.
Yes.
By touching his... She slaps him and it makes him evil. That's what happened.
The
red mark comes on.
She slapped the piss out of Optimus Prime, this little nymph, and made him into,
Nemesis Prime.
Nemesis Prime. I feel so stupid for that.
The dumbest name ever.
Well, but see, Nemesis Prime is a Transformers... that's Transformers.
Okay, so
Nemesis
that's a real
Prime.
Thing.
Yes, that is a...
Let's precurse this by James did not grow up watching Transformers, so he does not know that much about it.
Yeah, and he still hates the movie, too. So, yes, Nemesis Prime is a thing. Just like Galvatron was a thing, and they didn't really explain that well. So, not only did they bork up Nemesis Prime, but they totally borked up frickin' Unicron, because Cybertron has to be rebuilt by sucking the life out of Earth, which is actually Unicron?
So, you have to kill Earth / Unicron to rebuild Cybertron.
But Unicron, for those of you who are not aware, Unicron is the big, big, big bad.
It's the planet-eating planet.
Yes.
I loved the movie, the animated movie from the 80s. And I didn't watch it in the 80s. I watched it because of Jug founder Jared Wallen. He showed it to me in high school. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. But that was all I ever cared about. I was like, oh, the movie was great. I don't care about the TV show. Never got into it. But so I know what Unicron is. I know what Galvatron is. And so when the fourth movie happened, I knew that they borked up
Galvatron
big
pretty
time.
Badly. Yeah.
And then this movie just... clearly, they were like, oh, you want Galvatron, or you want Unicron? Well,
okay.
Here, let me take a dump on it.
Yeah.
Here's your Unicron.
We'll leave you with the biggest cliffhanger of all time with Unicron.
Because they've been edging, you can tell, since the second movie the third movie, they've been slowly trying to get to Unicron.
Yes.
And in this movie, they actually say
Unicron.
And they're like, oh, he's here. That's Earth. Earth is Unicron. You're like, what?
What?
And then it ends, and you never really see Unicron. You see
the horns of Unicron. You see Cybertron moving closer to Earth.
No repercussions from gravity.
No. No.
Like, when it destroyed the moon, because it, like, well, it didn't destroy it, but it ran into the moon.
And it ripped the space shuttle from dark side of the moon, yeah, off the moon. Stupid.
But what happened?
Like, nothing got borked up.
Like, when that, in real life, what would have happened was every coastal city in the world would be gone.
Yeah.
Because the tides would be all weird, yes, and just screw everything up. Well, none of that happened. Everything was fine. I mean, they had a planet into our atmosphere.
Yes.
No issues.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg's hair didn't even move.
No, did not.
No. I don't understand.
Him on that oxygen at the end.
My God.
He's the only person on oxygen.
And he's not even actually using the oxygen. He's like putting it up to part of his face.
He's just
you're like, oh God, Mark Wahlberg, you're better than this. Okay, so basically, I think the story of this movie is that there is a formidable Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah, the Merlin King Arthur story was true.
It was true.
And magic, like they say, like they use the quote from someone that magic is just technology that we don't understand, or
which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, there were some really cool moments, philosophically or whatever, with the script. You're like, oh, well, okay.
That's not bad.
That's all right. But then there were just some moments where me and Josh just throw our hands up like, what?
What is this? I mean, like, I'm still not certain why Sir Anthony Hopkins was in this.
Well, the first time you see him, he's got those glasses on, and I leaned over to Josh and said, I do believe those are a little small for him.
And he never wore them again. No. I think because they were painted on his face.
They really looked like they hurt.
They did. I'm sure, like, that was the first day of shooting, and he was like, I'm not wearing these.
I'm not wearing these anymore.
Stop it. Yeah,
well, sir, we need to reshoot everything. Nope. Moving on.
Which is very Anthony Hopkins-esque, I'd imagine. I mean, I thought his character was okay.
Yeah, you could tell he had fun being on there.
Yes, you could.
He had a good time doing it. It was goofy. He got to have this little 4-foot butler robot, and
which sometimes was bigger and smaller in size.
It grew. It didn't matter. Shrank, yeah. Just depending on who it was standing next to.
Oh man, that has always been one of my biggest gripes about the Bayverse, is that. Okay, for instance, the little wheelie robot played by our good friend Tom Kenny, he was very small, and then one of the Autobots picked him up,
and he's way bigger.
Merlin's staff goes from being able to be held by a small female.
Oh, it grew.
To,
like, they showed it grow on screen.
I must have missed that.
It was a split second thing. Where when Megatron rips it out of
Prime's
chest, it goes. Blue light hits it and it's big.
Also, Optimus Prime has optimal snorage in his chest now. Yeah, Didn't know about that.
You can pull the little I guess it's a fender.
Yeah,
or whatever. You can pull the fender down and he's got like a chest pocket now.
I also have this huge problem with the fact that like Prime just flies now without.
Yeah. Oh my God! Yeah, he just. Shot up and flied.
Yeah.
Flew.
He just shot up and flied. He did.
I swear.
There's no jetpack. There's no nothing. It's
in Revenge of the Fallen, he gets the Blackbird bomber.
It's a jetpack.
And that's how he flies.
And I think in this movie, they were like, didn't he fly in that last one?
Yeah, let's just put rockets on his feet.
Nah, we just make him fly now. Nobody will ever notice. Transformers fans aren't going to notice that Optimus Prime just suddenly was able to fly. It's all good. This story is horseshit, is the best way that I can say it.
Well, I guess you need to write that
down. No, I don't, because everyone needs to hear my opinion about it.
It was bad.
It was so bad.
I see now why it only did $69 million in the States opening weekend.
Well, probably because
we were a part of that.
Probably because they, couldn't work in any more tumbleweeds.
Oh my God, yeah. At one point there's tumbleweeds.
At one point they're in this abandoned town, yet in this very nice upscale high rise in this very large city back to this abandoned town.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, the abandoned town, like when they show it, it's a one light town.
Like, yes.
But then all of a sudden, there's this giant church, cathedral, and a bank, and
all this all,
and
stuff.
Then they go back outside, and it's this crappy gas station, one light town.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
what
continuity was so and then, bad?
And that
in
same
movie.
Scene is when the butler robot is calling Anthony Hopkins, who is in England.
Yes.
And they are in California.
Yes.
No, they're in South Dakota.
Yes.
So they're at least on mountaintop.
Yeah.
So that's, what, 9, 10 hours?
9, 10 hours.
There's a 9, 10 hour difference, and it's the exact same time of day, like the sun is in the same spot in both places. So apparently we're flat Earth, and it's just daylight all the time.
Is Michael Bay a flat Earther?
He might be. This might be the movie where he comes out and says, I'm a flat Earther.
I'm a flat Earther, guys. That's what.
However, when they did show the aerial shots of Earth, it was a globe. So I don't know.
We think. Well, we did watch it in IMAX 3D, so it was a globe. Just,
yeah.
Yeah. We fixed that. So their mission was to stop.
Yeah.
Well, they spent the majority of the movie running from the like worldwide organization that hunts down Transformers.
Yeah, the TFR.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what it stands for.
Transformers Fighting
Regiment.
Roberts.
I don't know. Like, they never tell you what TFR stands for. They just, like, it says, there's a shot of England, like London, and there's a building. It says TFR headquarters. Okay, what's TFR?
No idea. They just hunt Transformers.
Yeah. Josh Duhamel is a undercover agent. He's an American. Like, he's still with America. Like, I guess the CIA or something now.
Maybe. It wasn't very clear.
Yeah, they're not clear on what he worked for, but they planted him in TFR to... Because they still want to protect the Autobots, but the TFR is like, kill them all.
Yes.
So that was weird.
I'm not really sure, like...
But yeah,
and that wasn't super clear either.
No, but their goal was to stop Cybertron from eating Earth.
Which they did not discover was a goal... Until the last hour
like
of the movie.
The third act of the movie was that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't... It was weird.
There were a couple of times in this movie that I was like, I don't even know what's really going
like,
on.
I was lost.
Yeah.
But by God, the people behind us liked it whenever it was over. Like, man, that was awesome. One of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's like, well, I was like, well,
stupid.
It was one of the prettiest movies I've ever seen. But I wouldn't say it's the best, like, content-wise, the best movie I've ever seen.
I will say, we watched Dark of the Moon there in IMAX 3D. Totally worth it, which is why I wanted to go see it again. The visuals, incredible. Like, they are killing Transformers fans.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, this is just nonsense. I think the last time we talked about Transformers movie, I guess it was Revenge of the Fallen, I talked about how...
Well, you hadn't talked about it on the show since Revenge of the Fallen? That was in 2009?
Oh, no, not Revenge of the Fallen. What was the last
one? Age of Extinction?
Age of Extinction,
okay.
Yeah. How they dumbed down the Dinobots.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Grimlock is, like, supposed to be this big, bad warrior, and he's stupid.
Well, now he's
not
a pit. In the fifth movie, he's a pit.
Yeah, he doesn't, like... He doesn't even transform.
He doesn't transform. He gives nothing to the like to the advancement of the plot. He was just there.
Yeah, at least Optimus
and
didn't
ride
him.
And I don't know how they got him from Japan over to South Dakota, but all right, he's there.
Yeah. Oh, nobody, you know. And they're now Dinobot babies.
Yeah, they're Dinobot babies.
Just
awesome. And Grimlock can burrow. Because remember, in that little town, he came up out of the ground.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot about that.
That was kind of, random. I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay.
Oh, there's Grimlock. When, if they wanted to, you know, give Transformers fans a little fan service, and I honestly thought that's what they were going to do in this movie, is they were going to give a little fan service to Transformers fans, and we'd get to see Grimlock transform into Grimlock.
Yeah.
Or, you know, become King Grimlock or something like that.
Right.
But
yeah,
no, none of that.
Well, just like you said, at least Optimus didn't ride him.
Again.
Again.
Yeah, no.
Optimus did ride something. You know, he rode the dragon.
The Predacon.
Predacon, yeah.
Yeah, that is a Predacon, technically,
I
guess.
He rode that into battle.
Yeah, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was fun. Oh, and when he landed, though, it was awesome.
Oh, like, okay. Let's talk about that, because that's probably the best moment of the whole movie.
Also, you don't see Prom any in the movie.
None. Like,
oh, we should. Before we get to that part, we talked about how he was slapped and then he was evil.
Yes.
Let's talk about how he became good again.
Okay. First of all, in the first part of the movie, they're like doing this whole big shtick about replacing Bumblebee's voice box.
Yeah.
Okay. So they replace his voice box, and it's Siri.
Yep.
He has Siri as a voice box.
And I've never heard Siri swear before, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah, it kind of was. And so he rips that one out, and then, like...
And they never put another one back in, but he's still using the radio to talk.
Yes.
But he's got no voice box.
So, Prime comes back to Earth.
Right, and he's beating everybody up.
He is bad Prime.
Nemesis Prime.
Nemesis Prime. Not really.
Not
but
real Nemesis
his
Prime.
His name is Nemesis Prime, and he and Bumblebee are going at it.
Yep.
And... Prime is whooping the crap out of him because he's Optimus friggin' Prime. And Bumblebee's just a little scout. And at the point, a la BVS, where Superman is about to beat the crap out of Batman.
Save Martha! Yeah. Why did you say that name?
Yeah. It was almost like that because randomly, and for the first time in the Bay Universe, Bumblebee speaks.
Yup. With his own voice. He spoke.
And then stopped it.
And he was
promptly.
Like, he was just like, Optimus, you were my longest friend.
You're my oldest friend.
You're my oldest friend and companion.
I'll yield to you.
And just like that.
The little slap paint goes away.
The little slap paint goes away and Prom's a good guy again.
Speaking of which, Megatron was covered in that.
Yeah.
So... Did we miss where, she...
Had to have been some deleted scenes that we didn't see. But no, Megatron never left Earth.
No. He just randomly burned stuff for a while.
Yeah.
That was weird.
The first time you see him, he's just,
burning stuff.
You're like, what are you doing?
I don't want to say Frank Welker phoned it in, but he kind of did.
Let's go back to Prom, though. After he stops beating up Bumblebee, so the Knights, they're mad because he gave the staff to... Megatron. So they're fixing to kill him. And then all of a sudden, Marky Mark pulls a sword out of his ass. Literally.
Okay.
And stops a Transformer from beheading Optimus Prime.
So where this gets its King Arthur tie-in is that Chicago is an Area 9,
yeah.
A District 9 for Transformers. And so, Mark Wahlberg's character is, going through trying to fix up old Transformers and whatever.
And help. He's trying to help him.
And so, he stumbles upon this old, old Transformer who gives him this pendant. This medallion thing that is also a Transformer?
Looked like it, yeah.
Because
it crawled to him. He didn't want it. Mark Wahlberg did not want it. He's like, no, you keep it.
You keep it. I'm just trying to help you.
And... It just ends up in his Jeep.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what is
that? And then it attaches itself to him.
Yeah, in the scene in the town, the little town, it just grabs his arm and attaches itself to him.
Okay, this is probably a great time to talk about, all the random sexual references in this film.
Yes.
It was uncomfortably weird.
Very much so.
I have no problems with sexual references, but, they were really forced. In a Transformers movie. It was really weird. So, yeah, so these old Autobot Knights are about to behead Optimus Prime, and then suddenly Mark Wahlberg pulls out this sword, which...
We assume is Excalibur. He just produced it out of nothing. It was that pendant just transformed. Because the thing was, crawling around on his skin, went down towards his junk at one point, as soon as Prime was about to be beheaded, he, throws his arm up and says no, and there's a sword in his hand.
Yes.
And he stops a freaking, 20-foot-tall Transformer. He stops his sword without even flinching.
Yeah. with what had to have been Excalibur.
Yeah. And then, not 2 seconds later, he's talking, and there's no sword around.
it's just gone.
It just vanished, and you never see it again.
No,
it's gone.
We never, but he's the last knight of what we don't really know. But
okay, so now Optimus is a good guy, so now you can go back to him riding the Predacon. Entrance.
Okay, so the bet, number
hands
one.
Hands down, the best part of the movie.
Number one, if you want to go see this movie in IMAX 3D and you can't, do it, because it's totally worth it. So, Prime is riding this Predacon, this three-headed dragon, and there's been some kind of combiner Decepticon form. I'm not really sure what it is.
I can't remember what they called it. It looked like Diablo.
It did. It looked just like Diablo, which in the Bayverse, all the Decepticons look like demons for some reason. Yep. But it did. It looked like a big Diablo, and Hound, played by John Goodman, makes some reference about, well, I don't have enough ammo to kill them. And so here comes Prime. He does the superhero pose off of a Predacon.
Oh, it was so awesome.
And
they kind of slowed it down.
Yes.
When he jumps off, but like the 3D just made it pop.
And it really will.
It was shot in IMAX. It's got the full screen. It was gorgeous.
So he stabs this thing, which, combining Transformers
it, like, through the front, through the back, and through the head.
Right.
And
so
then it,
like,
breaks
if
apart.
If you remember the move that he did to, like, jump on Megatron and stab him a bunch from previous Transformers movies, it's the exact same move. It's like they don't fight. And these five Decepticons disband. Back to single
Decepticons. Oh, it was more than five. It was like eight or nine of them, wasn't it?
I think so, maybe.
Because they've surrounded him. Once they disassemble, they surround him.
So Prime pulls out, like, they disband, and they're coming back to close in on Prime, who finally acts like Optimus Prime for once in all of the Transformers movies, and beheads them all in one fell blow. It was... That would have been a perfect time for him to pull out his battle axe.
Yep.
But that wasn't a thing. He has the sword in the movies, whatever. It was awesome. It was like, it was the best part of the movie for me. And it was a 30-second clip of the movie.
That was 2 hours and 15 minutes into a 2.5-hour movie.
Oh, man. This movie felt really long.
It was really long.
Yeah.
What didn't help it, though, was the 20 minutes of previews beforehand, either.
No, that really didn't matter.
The previews made it almost 3 hours.
God. It was so long. What's the resolution to this movie? Prime goes back into space, or he goes back
No, remember, he's standing on the hillside. They do the exact same ending every time, where he puts a call out to...
Calling all
Autobots, come to Earth. We're going to make it right.
No, he said Autobots, return home. And then he flies to Cybertron.
Yeah, but home is still right in our atmosphere. We're a dual planet now. Like, there's...
Yes, that's a thing. Because they talk about how we have to repair each other's planets.
Right.
And all kinds of just...
And see, this is the second time they've brought
Cybertron
to Earth, because they did it in the third movie.
Yeah.
Where Leonard Nimoy had opened up all those portals.
Oh, yeah.
And tried to pull it in, and they were going to make enslave humans and make them rebuild it. He played something. He was a Prom.
Yes.
He played one of the Proms.
Oh, crap. I feel so stupid.
It's been so long since I've watched the third one, I don't remember.
Well, he's actually, it's like one of the big Transformers roles. It was the third one. I feel so stupid. Transformers. Oh, I'm gonna feel stupid in 2 seconds.
when you finally get to it.
Yeah. It was actually Leonard Nimoy was actually was it Age of Extinction?
No,
it was Dark of the Moon. Yeah. Dumb. Here we go. Leonard Nimoy played
something.
Malkovich was in that. I forgot that.
Malkovich.
Why is he not in the freaking...
Malkovich.
The thing I hate about IMDb is they
list them by probably order that they appear.
No, they list all the on-screen actors, and then they list
the voice actors.
Yeah, at the end. Let's see here. Because they should all start with Peter Cullen.
to just look up, you know, Leonard Nimoy.
Well, I'm already doing this.
Just saying.
Let's see. Because, like, they're even below almost the uncredited people, which is stupid. Like, I may have to go back. Oh, here we go. Oh, Hugo Weaving did play Megatron in Dark of the Moon. Sentinel Prime. I'm not. Oh, I feel so stupid.
Well, I knew that Hugo Weaving played him in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
I thought he played him in the last two as well.
No, I knew that was Frank Welker.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah. Man, this movie.
Yeah, so this is the second time they've brought. They've attempted to bring Cybertron to Earth.
To Earth.
And this time it happened. Like, it's here. And I don't know, without the God of Life or whatever to move it back, I don't know how you're going to get rid of it. Well, it's just going to be here.
Well, she's still around.
She is still around. There's not a post-credit scene. It's just while the credits are rolling, you see this chick walking through the desert. And you're like, oh, that's not her. And I was like, Josh was like, that's not her. I was like, yeah, that's her. Well, that's a human. I was like, but it's her. And then she does this thing where she's like, don't touch him. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like to be touched.
Which is stupid because Unicron has apparently been Earth
for
millions of years.
Because he's been sitting there dormant and, you know, freaking space dust is collected and created
Earth
around him.
Oh my God, it's so stupid. I mean,
the points, the whole center of it, the whole Pangea thing.
Was dumb.
The evolution of the Earth.
Yes.
Opened him up, ripped him apart or something like that. I don't know.
What's going to suck.
Tony Hale was in it. He was cool.
What's going to suck is that Unicron's going to be a throwaway villain.
Yep.
Is what it's going to be.
Well, I don't know, because you can't kill him because you'll kill Earth.
Yep.
Like, everyone on Earth will die. Even if you wake him up, everyone on Earth dies.
Yeah. Yeah, instantly. Yeah.
So, I don't know how I don't think they could ever do Unicron. Unless they, like, figure out a way to get inside one of the horns and travel down and kill his heart or something.
Yes, which is probably what's going to have to happen. See, this is my thing. And my big issue with this movie is Hot Rod. Who they've made some gay French transformer instead of the future leader of the Autobots.
Yeah, no,
No, I mean, he's... Oh my God. I understand why Jared probably hated it as much as he did.
Yeah, that was always his favorite character was Rodimus Prime.
Rodimus Prime.
Even the joke that they did when they, because of his French accent, he was like, Hutrid.
Yeah.
And they were like, what? Huru?
What? No, stupid. I mean, like, I thought, huh. Okay, they always introduce a new Transformer.
Yep.
I just thought they were never going to bring Hot Rod into the Bayverse.
No, I didn't think there was any point in it.
And there's Hot Rod. Yep. Oh my God!
All his glory.
More than likely, I could see what they're going to have. They're going to have to travel inside the Earth to kill Unicron, and Prime will die, and someone will become the new leader of the Autobots.
It'll be Bumblebee. Like, they've been setting Bumblebee up in the Bayverse.
Bumblebee is not a Prime.
I'm aware, but they've set him up to be like that.
Bumblebee Prime.
Because he's the number one Transformer in the movie.
I know.
He had more screen time than Optimus
Prime
did in this movie.
I know. I don't understand. But, oh my God.
Yeah,
I just keep thinking, maybe they won't make another one. Maybe they won't make
another
one.
They opened a writer's room. Like, they're...
Oh, no, it's already on IMDb.
Yeah, I know.
It's, like, they're getting another. Started. Yeah. I mean, they're getting started.
Well, the Bumblebee movie set in the 80s is happening.
Oh, God.
Which doesn't make any sense, but okay.
Oh, my God.
Unless we see him after the 80s movie, when it ends, like, he flies off back into space.
Because they just fly now.
Yeah, because that can happen. But, he has to get off Earth.
Yeah.
Because he lands in 2007 with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Did he not?
Yes.
Like, if I'm not mistaken, he landed with everybody else.
Yes.
And sent the call out.
Yes. I'm going to go back and watch Transformers now.
I need to watch the first one to make sure. Because, I mean, we could be wrong.
We
could
be wrong.
There.
because it has been a while, but I don't think that we are.
I thought that he landed, like, he was the first one to land.
Because they started talking about this, and I was like, no, this isn't right. They how can they do this inside this movie? It's fine to retcon it in the Bumblebee movie,
right,
but not in the main timeline.
Not in the main storyline.
No.
You can't do that. But we could be wrong, and he could have already been there, but I think that he crash-landed.
So.
I'm sure somebody is out there screaming at us going, you guys are idiots.
Well, we may be, but if you've kept up with it this much and you're more of a Transformers fan than me, more power to you, man.
It's been 10 years since the first Transformer movie came out. So.
Yeah, I mean, and here's my thing. I love Bumblebee. He is my favorite Transformer. He is. I have to fight every time I go to a convention not to buy Masterpiece Bumblebee.
Because I'm always with you, and you're like, I want to get that so bad.
Because he's 2.5 inches tall. And $75.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I mean, I just, no. But I don't know. This movie is so bad. Oh, for all of you Transformers fans out there, I am so sorry. I really am. They're just doing it to mess with us at this point.
Yep.
I really think they are. If you can't see it in IMAX 3D, don't.
Wait till it's on Redbox or VOD in like 2 months.
Yeah, rent it. Yeah, I will watch Transformers and then go back and watch this to make sure, but, oh, God, it's so bad. It is so bad.
And it's not one of those movies that where we're dissing on it, and then, like, after we let it marinate for a while,
no,
it'll be better.
No, it's worse than BBS. It hands down is worse than BBS.
I don't think it was worse than BBS.
It's close.
At least it had bright colors and was very pretty.
Now that is true.
BBS was dull.
Very dull.
I would still say this is better than BBS.
Okay. Because there were multiple...
And there were enjoyment parts. Like, we were like, oh, man, that was cool.
Yeah.
Or that was neat.
There were some, oh, that was kind of cool moments. There really weren't in BBS.
And there were some really just, like, they were random, but there was, like, Hound
some funny
was,
bits.
Hound was, like, bouncing a little baby Dinobot on the sword, and it was a pop-out scene.
Yeah.
And it was like a really big
really
pop-out.
Really well-done pop-out scene, too.
A lot of times when they go that far out, it starts to split the image. You get crosstalk, but it was a really well-done pop-out scene.
Yeah.
Like, the sword literally looked like it was like
right
protruding
there.
6 feet out from the screen, at least.
It looked awesome.
It was awesome. Like, and there was, the 3D on it was very well done. You can tell it was shot in 3D.
Yes.
And that he framed stuff up to where
for
it would
that.
Look nice in 3D. It was very well done. The IMAX portions of it, like I said, 98% of it was awesome.
Yes.
Like,
visually, it's one of the nicest looking films I've seen in a while because in the fights, super clear.
Oh, very clear.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah.
It's not like going to see a DC movie where all the fights take place at night.
No.
It's all broad daylight.
It was amazing. It was really well done. But there were portions of this movie that I had to sit for a couple of minutes and think, what is going on?
Well, what I do like is that since Bay started doing these in 3D, he slowed the fighting down to where you can see it.
Yes.
Because the first two movies, it just looked like two wads of metal
going
rolling
at
around.
It.
Like, you couldn't see anything. But once he was like, if we're going to do this in 3D...
Better slow it down.
If you don't slow it down, you're going to make people sick.
Yeah.
And he nailed it with the 3D on all of them. Because I've seen, since they've done them in 3D, I've seen them all in 3D. Now, granted, I did not get to see Dark of the Moon in 3D in theaters, but I saw it 3D at home. And it's very...
It's awesome.
It's very clear. It's beautiful. Like, it's very well done.
I think he just uses these movies to flex his tech muscle.
I think he does.
Which is fine.
Because, I mean, you look at a movie like Pain and Gain, there ain't no tech in that movie. It's a very well-made movie, though.
It's just a movie.
Well, of course, he's not doing Bad Boys 3, which may not even happen now because Will Smith's going to go be in Dumbo for some reason.
What?
Yeah. Like, the Bad Boy movies, those are good.
Yeah.
You know, anything of his where he's not...
Michael Bay's not a bad director.
Yeah, no, he's not.
He's
actually quite good.
Yes, he is quite good. And from a directorial standpoint, from, you know, the way the movie was shot, this was pretty excellently done.
Oh, yeah.
The story is
just
crap.
The random tumbleweeds.
Oh, my God. He's just messing with people.
I expect that, like, we said it in the movie. I was like, I expect that tumbleweed to explode.
It didn't. It did reproduce.
It did. You see one, then like, oh, crap, there's three or four more. Oh,
there we go. What's your jam this week?
Oh, crap. Road trip review. This was fun.
This was fun. I love this. This was a great idea to do these segments.
I would say, well, I finally won a Maggie, but I don't know. This was fun. The trip out. I've never been to IMAX, like a formatted IMAX movie, so that was a first for me.
It's a lot easier to get to than Nashville.
Oh, yeah. It's such an easy drive. GPS says it's 2.5 hours.
It's not.
It's not.
No.
And it's such an easy drive. It was fun.
Yeah.
And plus, it was a nice stress reliever from everything that we've had going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, today, the road trip review is my jam.
Yeah. It's a good jam. I'm going to say that's my jam, and being the best director in town is my jam, too. So, eat it for all of
deserved.
You.
Deserved.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what.
I think tonight is the night that I go follow my parents home and cry at their house. I think that happens tonight.
Didn't get your way.
Get my way. Yeah, my dad beat me out for a Best Actor award. But
let's go cry about it.
I'm going to go to his house and cry.
At least you have those sweet programs.
Yeah.
All right, that'll about do it. Next week's a big one, 275. So not sure what we'll do, but we'll do something on time for you. How about that? That'll be great.
And also, be looking forward to our Huntsville Space Center.
Yes.
That's going to be so much fun.
We've got to do that.
Yeah, Logan and Ian. Well, I know y'all don't listen, but, you know.
On the off chance you do, we'll tell you anyway, but that's what we're going to do. It's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be fun.
And if we could work it out to go stay over there overnight, that'd be good. There's stuff to do.
So cool.
Just saying. There's rooms over there. That's a thing to do. So that's a thing we'll do. We'll hook up with our friend Keith Parker when we do that and have some fun. All right, that'll do it. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Just Us Geeks, all that stuff. And now that we're a little less pulling our hair out from stuff we're doing, we're back to podcast normalcy. So we'll see you folks again next week.
Thanks for listening, you idiots.